Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM, hosted by myself, James Torman Aldrich, and co-host Jaden Barfus. Before we get into all the fun things that everybody loves to listen to, women's tennis is in New Mexico this weekend for the Aggie Classic Tournament and Mountain Regional Tournament, both in Las Cruces, is maybe how you say that. Mm-hmm. Men's tennis is in Las Vegas for the ITA Mountain Regionals this weekend. We're recording this just before Weber State takes on Idaho in Memorial Gymnasium for volleyball. And then tomorrow, which would be Friday, so yesterday technically when you hear this, the women's soccer team is taking on Weber State University. Jaden will talk about that later. And then volleyball is taking on, that's the next week. I'm really good at clicking buttons. First off, track and field is down in Lewiston, or not track and field, cross country down in Lewiston for the LC State cross country trial. And then, or cross country trail, yeah, at LC cross country trail. They have their own trail for cross country. How exciting is that? It's not a golf course. That doesn't happen very often. And then the volleyball team taking on Idaho State in Memorial Gymnasium, 6 p.m. tonight, Saturday, when you're listening to this. And the football team obviously taking on the best of the best the Big Sky has to offer in the Cal Poly football team at 1 p.m. on Saturday. And then a bunch of just golf and stuff happening for the rest of the weekend, or tennis, not golf. And yeah, that was probably the quickest I've ever done that. That was only a minute and 56 seconds long. Not really a whole lot of things happening this week or last week. Jaden and I will, it'll probably be a shorter episode today. Sorry, Gus and everyone who cares about how long these episodes are, but we are going to let Jaden yap about women's soccer for quite a bit, covering the Northern Arizona game, which the Vandals won 3-2 on October 13th. We talked about Montana last week, so not going to worry about that loss. And then Weber State, which, as I mentioned, will have happened by the time this goes out, but Jaden's still going to talk about them so that you, in hindsight, can see what Weber State was. And then, obviously, the Idaho State game on October 20th. So, Jaden, if you want to just dive into a 3-2 win, which was not 3-2 for most of the game, Idaho kind of held control for a while, and then NAU got two goals later in the game. Talk about Weber State, how Weber State has looked. That'll be Ted Lasso night. And then how the Bengals are looking coming into the game on Sunday, which is Blackout and Senior Day.
Yeah, so actually in that game was actually completely different from what James said. Northern Arizona scored the first goal of the game in the 17th minute. But then after that, the Vandals scored 5 minutes later on another assist by Alyssa Peters, at that time tied the all-time Big Sky assist of 27. And then on the next goal was a goal by Peters, who admitted herself she was not trying to score. That was just a trying to put the ball in the 6-yard box, see what happens. So she scored her third career goal, and then with the third goal of the game, which was huge at the moment, gave us a 2-goal lead. Was a very weird goal, I'm gonna say. A ball sent in by Peters, who went off the head of Sarah Rogers, that fell to redshirt junior Sienna Gonzalez. On a volley, she rifled it into the top corner, make it 3-1. And on the stat sheet, that was the assist that got Alyssa Peters, as we've been calling her in Moscow all week, the assist queen, as she has broken the all-time Big Sky assist record with 28 assists. She has 2 goals and 9 assists on the season, and will be a huge part in the games coming up in the regular season. And then, obviously, when they head to Montana for the Big Sky Tournament. On to our opponent Friday, which was yesterday. Sorry, because we're...
Some of us have to set up a tailgate Saturday morning, so we had to pre-record this week.
Yeah, so Weber comes in with a record 2-9-5. They, on paper, haven't really been that good of a team. They've scored 16 goals, allowed 39. The one thing I will say, they did hold a lead twice against top 25 ranked in the nation, Utah State. They ended up falling 4-2 to them, but they held strong against them for most of that game. Although Utah State has been kind of struggling of late, so make of that what you will. This is a game that Idaho comes in after a 1-1 tie last year. Should have been a win. We absolutely dominated them last year, but we just could not get that second goal, which was the story of the last 3 years in games that we lose or tie. Weber also comes in dead last inside the Big Sky Conference, which is surprising that Northern Colorado, for the first time this season, is not last in the Big Sky Conference. Weber comes in 1-2-1. I don't know how they're last, because no, Northern Colorado's won 4-1, but Big Sky Conference is Big Sky Conference. Weber State did get their first win in conference play against our opponent Sunday, Idaho State, in at Ogden last weekend. So definitely going to be.
Jane's dying. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm still coming off this cold, and I love it. So for some stats and some key players for you guys, since everyone loves to hear about boring old stats.
It's my favorite thing. So,
We have forward Ali Swenson has 5 goals, 3 assists on the year. What the heck? Sailor Schossler, it seems like. It's not spelled the same way as Margot, but almost. She has 2 goals, 3 assists. And then there's a few other with 2 goals. Their goalkeeper has been conceded against a lot. That's why. They have Maya Cordova, who's played 8 games. And then Annika Franz has played a game. And they have Hadley Harris that have played a game. Three goalkeepers have played. The one that you'll probably see. You saw is Harris Hadley. She started 11 games. She started 11, 24 goals allowed, 39 saves. You also might see Maya Cordova, as I saw in the Idaho State game. They kind of switched them off. So Harris started, and then Cordova came in for her. So it's probably going to be that. We have no idea, though. The thing about Weber State, they're always a very tough opponent for us. Last year, obviously, and then the year before us in Ogden, we go down there and it's a 1-0 win. So this can be a tough game for us. And then with this being our last home 2 games, it's going to be a very emotional one, I think, for some of the players.
Yeah, while we're on the topic of Weber State, before I let you talk about Idaho State, kind of, I guess, maybe important to note, Alyssa Peters, when she broke the record last weekend, it was formerly held by Weber State Wildcat Chauncey Crompton. Her bio really confused me in the Big Sky record books, because it stated that she played from 2012 to 2013 and then 2015 to 2018. I thought that maybe she left for a year and came back. She got her medical redshirt season in 2014 after playing in 6 matches, starting in 4 of them. She scored a goal in that time period. So over the course of technically 5 years, I guess, was able to land herself atop that Big Sky record book,
yep.
Which is now held by Alyssa Peters. So kind of a fun little connection there as Idaho goes in against the team that Alyssa Peters just beat the assist record of.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing to note, though, is that I don't know how many listeners or James, how much you pay attention to soccer, but as an outside back, to have 28 assists in 5 seasons is insane. To have 9 this year is crazy. So what she does, she's probably the most important player for us. I mean, her the last 4 games, we've only scored one. No, actually. Yeah, we scored 1 goal, not from a set piece. So she's very important to us.
Yeah, for context, while Jaden coughs, Chauncey Crompton was a midfielder when she set that record.
Chauncey was a outstanding player for Weber State. Now we are going to go to a team that is about an hour and a half from Weber State. Back where I am from, the Idaho State Bengals.
Poor kid.
Idaho State is 2-7-5 overall, 1-3-1 in conference play. They start out strong. They actually before the season went to Austria and Germany and played some games there.
Why?
Because every 4 years the NCAA allows you to go overseas, and so they went overseas and played some games, got some experience, got some time to bond as a team. And then the injury bug hit Idaho State. They lost Rachel Fulmer for the year before the year even started with a Achilles. Their best player, Sadri Bell, who has actually has shredded my heart 3 times with her school, Highland, beating my team 3 times inside the championship. So she but she is a very skilled player. She actually gave Idaho fits, the only one that gave him fits last year in that 4-0 win. She's been out since the Boise State game. She will be out 13 games if she's out for the whole rest of the season. She's a very key part with Fulmer. So they're a very young team now. They have scored 9 goals, conceded only 20. And I say only because last year they conceded 45. So they've gotten a lot better. That is, too, because of their play of their outstanding keeper, who wasn't for Kira, having 13 shutouts as a freshman, probably would be up there as one of the best freshmen in the Big Sky in the last few years. Hale, her name is Trinity Hale. She's played in 14 games, started all of them. 18 goals allowed, and then Sarah Maxfield has the other 2. She has save percentage of 78%, 65 saves, 210 shots faced. That is the most out of any out-of-state keeper ever because, well, in the last, like, 10, 20 years, ever since they've been crap. So this team scares me. And I say that every year. I told James that last year. This team scared me, and then Idaho goes out and beats them 4-0. The reason they scare me is, A, I grew up watching them, and I know that they always play good in big games against teams they shouldn't beat. And so for a team like Idaho who needs to win these next 2 games, needs to, there's no going for a tie or anything. We need to win these last 2 games to secure a number 2 seed, because getting a 3 seed, a 2 and a 3, could be the difference of getting 3rd and 4th and getting 1st, or if we unfortunately lose, 2nd. It's that important for us to get the number 2 seed, and I will tell you why here in a second. That game is Sunday, where they will be honoring. Let me go through every senior that we have. It may take a bit, folks, but
there's only a few.
So they will be honoring Kyla Tucker, Kylie Hummel, Heather, Sequirti. I'm so sorry, Heather, if you are actually listening. Leiden Huber, Annika Farley, Cassidy Elliker, Rebecca Reyes. That might be it, folks.
Yeah, it's all the seniors.
And
then
we have some graduates that will be honored for a second time, I believe. Margot Schessler. We have Jaden Hanks. We have Maddie Lasher. We have Peter Alyssa Peters. And Hannah Alfaro Black. So we're honoring a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of great young women who have had a great career here. I have had the pleasure of covering them for 3 years. They're great off the field. They're great on the field from what I can tell. And it's going to be a sad day for me, I think. I mean, it's kind of like losing out on players that I've covered for 3 years. So, and it's obviously going to be sad for them having their last game in the Kibbe Dome. I know for some, it's been a dream come true to play college soccer here. So to see their careers ending inside the Kibbe Dome will be special. Please come out. It's going to be I believe, 1 o'clock on Sunday, right?
I can check real quick. I did have the schedule open.
I can as well.
And then I looked at the roster. Yeah. It's Heather Squatiri, by the way. Squatiri,
okay. Yeah, again, you were close. Again, I'm so sorry, Heather, and for Heather's family in Florida that might be listening. I'm so sorry.
1 o'clock on Sunday, yeah. For Idaho State.
And it's blackout. It's blackout, so wear your black, be loud, and support everyone, because this is the last home game of their Vandal careers for a whole bunch of them. And then we have one more game, which we'll talk about next week, against poor Northern Colorado. And I say poor because it's been poor for them. Before I end and we do the main thing that everyone loves to talk about.
Woohoo, football!
I'm going to go over the Big Sky Conference standings and then what Idaho needs to do to get either first or second. So Montana leads the pack. As I said passionately last week, I think Montana is still the best team inside the Big Sky. That tie with Eastern did not sway me. I still think they are the best teams of the Big Sky. If Clevenger or Neil or anybody is actually listening,
if anything, it's to add to the passion of the game. They'll go out and prove us wrong. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Do it. Prove me wrong, because I would rather write about another championship win. So, but Idaho is second place at 3-1-1, 9-4-2 overall. Eastern got a big win today. They are at 9 points. Okay, sorry. Montana and Idaho are tied with 10 points. Into the conference play. Eastern at 9-2-1-3. Sac State, who suffered a brutal loss to us, the University of Idaho, came back strong with 2-2-1, 7 points. Portland State, 6 points, 1-1-3. Northern Arizona, who everyone picked to be second, is sitting at, is that seventh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sixth place. Sorry, not sorry, NAU. Idaho State comes in at seventh, 4 points, 1-3-1. Northern Colorado at eighth with 4 points, 1-4-1. And Weber State, ninth place, last place, 1-2-1, 4 points overall. For the Vandals, it's going to take us to win. I mean, if we win our next three games, we win conference play with 19 points. That's something that we need to do. I mean, if we drop one with a tie, okay, if we lose any of the last three, it's really not going to look good. So It's going to be important, especially if Montana has four games left. We have three. So us getting first place, people, this is what it's going to take. Montana has to lose twice, and we have to win out. That's simple.
And looking at Montana's final four games, Sac the State, prospect Portland of State, them Idaho losing State, twice is about as good of a prospect as, you know, the Vandal's football team having a quarterback by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really – but second place is not bad. Okay, so now – to go back to what I was saying earlier about have to get second place. The one and the two are on opposite sides of the bracket. So if Montana's one and we're two, the only time we'll face each other is the championship. And boy, does Idaho want Montana to the championship. Because Montana fans on Twitter were saying, well, the Vandals dodged us last year. No, Montana lost to NAU. That's what happened. But if we get third, we'll be on the same side as Montana and have to play them in the semis.
And nobody wants an Idaho-Montana semifinal game.
Well, that happened 2022. That game was amazing. A goal by Margo, who I don't think Margo will still to this day think how she even made that shot. But it's going to be very important, again, for these last three games to show everyone what Vandal soccer is. Because there's some games they show it, some games they don't. And so with three games before they head down to Chile, Missoula, Montana, may or may not have snow by then, we're definitely going to have to see. We're going to see what this team is really made of, and if they can send out their graduates and their seniors out with another championship.
Yeah, and just, you know, just to wrap up on Montana here, they play at Sac State, get Portland State at home, and then at Idaho State, at Weber State. So a pretty easy final four games, but, you know, they could draw a couple of them. That would be helpful. You know, really, just as long as Idaho doesn't fall to three, I think the Vandals really don't have anything to worry about until the championship game. But then again, you know, a lot of these Idaho games have been relatively close. So,
yeah. I mean, the one thing I will say is the Vandals, during our four-game home stretch, did a great job of starting early, starting quick. Last two games, we've been on the opposite side. The other team scored first when we've had a fight. Would I tell you, this team's been through everything this year? They've been through everything this year. They've been through tough starts, last-second goals, kind of what happened against Northern Arizona with an 88th-minute PK, which, sorry to the NAU ref, was not a PK, but hey.
We're not in the complaining about refs business.
No, we're definitely not. But we are definitely going to have to see again how this Vandal team plays, how they come out, and if they can come out healthy. I think that's the main thing we need, is we need everyone healthy. I did see Maddie Lasher in a boot online on some of the pitchers. She did play this last weekend. She played, like, I think 10 minutes a game. So could be some concern there, especially with the forwards. They claim on paper to be one of our deepest positions, but they really haven't shown a lot the last few games. Getting a goal from Sienna Gonzalez was big. Maybe getting Sienna's confidence. Naomi really hasn't played a big part. I don't know why. It's something you and I talked off air. I don't know why they really haven't played Naomi more. I think Naomi and all the forwards are really, really good. Also, something to note, Carly Yoshida-Williams did not play against NAU at all. So we could be looking at a Carly injury. Or it could have been precautionary, but Again, what I'm going to say over and over again, please come out and support. Please. For a team that did win the Big Sky, we still don't have a lot of supporters. And when I was watching the Montana game, or trying to, in my psychology 320 class, I still saw more fans at 3 o'clock when it started there than I do on a Thursday or a Saturday night or Sunday morning. It actually infuriates me, though, because there should be more people at these games. I mean, this team is the best team on campus right now. I mean, men's tennis was, but now we have no idea how men's tennis will be now. So right now, the only team that has a defending champion right now is men's tennis and soccer. And soccer has still played up to that standard. So please come out. Please support. Before you cannot see them again for the entire 2024 season.
And if you're lucky enough, unlike me, who signed up to help with a gala tomorrow night, gala, I don't know how they pronounce it.
Gala.
Something like that. You can win a free pair of aviators if you were at the Weber State game. Not that this matters as an announcement because this goes out on Saturday, but if you were there, you got free aviators.
You can also get $100 as well.
Yeah.
They're also doing $100 giveaway, so come out. Please have came out.
Yeah.
To Friday, and then please come support Sunday against Idaho State. It's always great to go to a Battle of the Domes.
Can't call it that anymore. It's not allowed to call it that anymore. I don't think there's an actual rivalry title for that. If you're wondering why you can't call it the Battle of the Domes anymore, ICCU used to sponsor both arenas. They no longer do that, or stadiums, whatever, the Kibbe Dome and
yes,
the thing.
They do.
They don't. We don't call it Battle of the Domes anymore. So,
well, I do. So the Battle of the Domes is going to be a great one. They're still playing in domes. So it's still a Battle of the Domes. James, I'm sorry, but Idaho State Stadium, dome is called Idaho Central.
But what is our dome called?
P1FCU.
Exactly.
We lost the sponsor. But it's been P1FCU for the last 3 years.
Nope. Just this year. Just changed.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, this is why we keep up to date on things. Anywho,
I
that
still
really
don't
matter.
Care.
Battle of the Domes,
but yeah.
Whatever the heck you want
to
call it.
No, but come out to the Battle of the Domes, and it's going to be great. I mean, it's obviously a great environment. I am really hoping that I can see Seiji Bell and some other players play that haven't played. I'm kind of being biased, but I'd rather have a great game than another 4-0 game. I think if I have to do soccer predictions.
We haven't done this before. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't be opposed. We got some time.
Yeah, let's do it. So I think the Weber State, I think the Vandals would have won. Because we're the Saturday. I'm going to go 2-0. I think that the Vandals get two goals, but I don't think this is a complete performance coming off the NAU game, the emotion of it. I think Sunday is a closer game. I think it's going to be 3-2.
All right. Well, you took my prediction for Weber. I was going to say 2-0. So I'll give one of the ugliest mascots in the Big Sky the benefit of the doubt. I'll give them a 2-1 loss. And then I think Idaho beats Idaho State. Once again, Jaden kind of took my prediction. One of the uglier also mascots in the Big Sky Conference.
Hey, okay, no.
You ever seen Benny? The thing's hideous.
Have I?
I think Idaho is going to beat the Bengals 3-1 on senior night. Because that's what I want to happen, and I've been really bad about predictions recently, so...
Well, I mean, we both were terribly wrong last week, so we're gonna...
Speaking of which...
There we go.
What
a
good
transition. Wow.
Luckily enough for me, I was at the Corner Club for last week's game,
and lucky enough for me, the Oregon Ducks had just beaten the number 2 team. So I was kind of super excited.
Yeah.
So
So I don't really remember this game, if I'm going to be completely honest. Because by the time halftime hit, I was so embarrassed that I went to Mingles to finish the game out. And then we finally scored in the fourth quarter. So
I mean, the only things I remember, and poor Nick Josefek breaking his collarbone. He will most likely be out for the season, even though Coach X said it's going to be a considerably amount of time. We have, what, 5 games left?
Yeah.
So I would say he's going to be out for the season if he's not. He can come back the last week. And then I saw the Matthias Bertram hit, which James might have to pull me off the microphone. It's a stupid, stupid play. I mean, yeah, for a player that knows better. I mean, just he's already down. You do not need to hit him with the crown of your helmet. So now –
he was out for the second half of the game. He'll be back for this game.
No, because it's two full halves.
No, it's targeting how the rule works, at least I'm pretty sure, is if it occurs in the first half of the game, you're out for the second half of the game. And if it occurs in the second half of the game, well, you're out for the first half.
No, actually, because I just barely researched this. In the first half, you have to miss the two half. You have to miss the second half and the first half of the first. If it's in the second half, you're out the entire next game. That's what I mean. For the FBS, that is the rule. I don't know if that's FCS. Or
I'm looking it up real quick.
Or
one of us is correct. Changed. Doesn't really matter.
But again, it's just a stupid hit from a player that really knows better, and I'm pretty sure he does feel bad about it. But it's just a very unnecessary hit in a game that was already not going our way. And then to lose one of our big-time players on defense just added insult to injury. Don't get me wrong. That was not the reason we lost. We as soon as we showed up, that game was over. I did predict us to lose 28-10. So I was kind of close, kind of not, but
yeah, I predicted us to win what 21 to or lose 21-17 or yeah, something. Yeah, that's the stupidest prediction I've ever made.
James has a lot more optimism than what I do. The game was over from the start. It really was. And Montana State got up 14-0. I'm still in watching Oregon mode, so. Shout out to Will Howard for the stupidest play of the college football year. But it was 14-0. It was and then from there, Idaho, and then Nick breaks his collarbone. Jack Wagner comes in and just couldn't find a mojo.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you can take away from this game in that Idaho needs to get better. Idaho struggled with injuries all season. You can't even. Jack Lane doesn't win this game. I mean, Javonte McCoy doesn't win this game.
There's not a
quarterback, because this wasn't really an offensive defensive thing for Idaho. It was just Idaho looked flat out bad,
sluggish. Yeah,
and Montana State looked like the number three team in the country, number two team in the country, if you ask me.
Well, yeah, and. Well, and also the one thing that I definitely will say, it's been a bad thing for us to start games and to end games. We've started slow and we've ended games slow. And I told you guys, I told everyone last week, if we start slow, we are going to get our butts kicked. And we did. We started slow and we got our butts kicked. So Coach Eck has got to – He really has got to flush that down. That game's over. That game never happened. Even though it was on ESPN2, that never happened.
Only 75,000 people saw it. So
throw it away. That game's over. We now have to focus on Cal Poly, which I know that everyone thinks this is going to be a cakewalk, but the way our offense has been playing, and so I mean – people, I mean the entire offense, not just quarterback, everybody. The wideouts have been dropping passes. The tailbacks have been kind of injury, kind of injured, and then their pass blocking hasn't really been that good. And then the offensive line.
The offensive line is, as I think they said on Tubbs at the Club, or I heard this somewhere, it's a patchwork of players. You know, you don't have...
Well, it's... Okay. The one thing that... I love Kocek. James loves Kocek. He... My first year here, our O-line was great. The guy went in. We still had three really good starters, but he went out and got transfers, and he got kids. Last two transfer portal, we really haven't gotten O-line. And, I mean, it's great to get linemen that are coming out of college, out of high school, but when you're playing against, I mean, all big sky D-ends, D-tackles, that guy that hit Nick was like 300 pounds. So
it's about my size.
And so our line has to be a number one priority, I would think, inside the offseason, because I'm not going to point them as the number one reason that our two quarterbacks have gotten hurt. They certainly have not helped things when they're getting hit after hit after hit after hit. And for a kid like Nick Josefek, who is 18 years old, the guy has never played college before. His body hasn't gotten hit like that before. He's obviously going to get hurt. Jack Lane has only played against two teams, actually three now. Actually, no, two, because he played against out-of-state twice, yeah. And then Oregon. So we really haven't seen Jack Lane this season. I'm really, really hoping he comes back sooner rather than later. Coach X said in his press conference, maybe Eastern, but probably Portland State. I think the smart thing would be Portland State. But if the Vandals get into ultimate desperate mode, we might see him against Eastern Washington.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough game. It's been a tough season for the Vandals. And it's weird to say, like, Idaho has had a not great season sitting at 4-3 with two FCS.
Four ranked wins, by the way.
Yeah. So, you know, every team they've beat was ranked at the time or still currently ranked, you know, NAU, yeah. And Abilene Christian. And who else did we play? I don't care who the other ones were. Yeah. Because lost to UC Davis, they were a ranked team. Lost to Oregon, beat Wyoming, lost to Montana State.
So three ranked wins.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because we beat
Abilene Christian.
Man, look at us being on the ball. Albany. Albany was ranked at that. Yeah, that game was so bad, I forgot it happened. But, yeah, I mean, it's...
They were ranked at the time.
It's crazy to think, like, 2 or 3 years ago... You know, Idaho being 4-3 at this time in the season would have been a record, basically, for Paul Petrino. And now we're like, wow, we're kind of falling off if we don't make the playoffs. But luckily for Idaho, they have 4 games left against not great teams in Cal Poly, Eastern Washington, Portland State, and Idaho State, or Weber 5.
Yeah, 4 more games. Yeah, we have 5 more total games, and then 4 games against, I would say, inferior opponents, and then we host
Weber. Yeah,
the big one. That game, Jack Lane better be back for, or that game could get ugly quick.
Yeah, I mean, this is an Idaho team that you look at the next few weeks against, you know, Cal Poly this weekend, who is 2-4, a loss to non-scholarship San Diego, a loss to FBS Stanford, a 31-14 win over Western Oregon, a 28-7 win over Northern Colorado, which pushed them up one spot in the rankings in the Big Sky for me, a 38-41 loss, or 41-38 loss to Idaho State, and a 56-10 loss to UC Davis. So It's been tough sledding for Cal Poly for basically their entire time in the Big Sky Conference. I had their stats pulled up, but the website, there we go. Looking at their specifically their quarterback, Bo Kelly, played in all six games so far. He is 77 for 124, which is 62.1%. He has thrown four touchdown passes.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll never guess how many interceptions he's thrown.
10?
5. So he's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. Their rushing game has been...
How many yards? How many yards?
And that's the important question. 847. Jaden Jones, who's played in a couple games, he's... there's no Y in his name.
Oh.
He's 13 for 23, two interceptions, two touchdowns. And then they have a few other guys who have played in the quarterback position. It looks like Bo Kelly is the guy that they're going with. Their leading touchdown scorer receiving-wise is Michael Briscoe. He has 359 yards on 15. What a fun time. On 15 receptions, and then their rushing game is where their other – 7 touchdowns have come from, led by Richie Watts, who has 149 yards on 31 attempts. However, he is not their leading rusher. That is Aiden Ramos, who has 1 touchdown, 294 yards, 73 attempts. And then I guess when you talk about the offense of Idaho, you probably should look at the defense of their opponent. Elijah Ponder, I bet he's pondering on his last name. He has 4 sacks for 34 yards, 7.5 TFLs for 43 yards, and 26 total tackles. Leading the team in tackles, Mason Rivera. He has 34 total, 2.5 TFLs and a sack. Interception-wise, oh, wow, they have 3 of them. Jake East has 1, Thomas Boda has 1, and Kai Rapala has 1. But, you know, this, like, on paper, this is a game that you look at and you say, wow, Idaho should beat this team 50-0 like they usually do, especially because it's at home. But if you look at the team stats for Cal Poly, they're only losing games by 8.5 points. Now, granted, they've, you know, lost by, 40-something to UC Davis. They beat Idaho State by a field goal. They've played a D2 team. Right? No, that was at home.
Oh.
Yeah, in San Luis Obispo, which I spelt wrong one time, and people got really mad at me for. But, you know, they're 1-2 in Big Sky play, beating the only team in the Big Sky worse than them, Northern Colorado, 28-7. But, you know, losing 56-10 to UC Davis. And then they don't have a really easy rest of the season. They probably have one of the toughest schedules, taking on Idaho this weekend, Montana next week, NAU the week after, Sac State the week after, and Weber State the week after that in Ogden. But
that is brutal.
Yeah.
That's like that's like 4 powerhouses right besides Sac State. But
yeah, I mean 4 out of their final 5 games are ranked or receiving votes teams. Actually, 5 out of their last 5 games are ranked or receiving votes.
It's actually funny. So. Sac State is the last inside the Big Sky right now.
And they're receiving votes.
Yeah. And Sac State, every year they get votes when they aren't very good. And Sac State is, what, I think, 0-2?
Yeah, they're struggling in the Big Sky, to say the least. I mean, they stole UC Davis's playoff spot the past 2 years.
Yeah, and that will not happen again this year.
No.
UC Davis looks like a buzz.
Now, granted, UC Davis technically lost to Portland State, but I'm not going to rub on the Big Sky refs for very long because I'm in a good mood today.
Because if we start, we might not be able to stop.
Yeah. But just looking at Cal Poly, you know, it should be a good game for the Vandals. This weekend, Jack Wagner will be starting. His backup is a name that I have very rarely heard before because I'm pretty sure he might be a walk-on. Rocco Coke.
Yeah.
He's a freshman, 6 foot, 220.
It's actually great size for a quarterback. And so, guys, if James hasn't heard of him, no one has. So
yeah, the first time I saw this guy, Jaden actually messaged me a picture that
I did.
Twitter posted. I went, I'm pretty sure that's that's Rocco.
Yeah, it's so obviously we're having quarterback with injuries and our tailbacks are banged up. And the other thing that I really want to point out in the 10 minutes-ish we have left is our wideouts have not been good this year, I would say at all. I mean, Jordan Dwyer's been has shown flashes. He's been good at times. I mean, Hampers, again, shown flashes. They've all shown flashes, I mean, again, with the quarterback rotating in and out. That also, it can't really get chemistry, but on paper, they haven't really been good. If you've actually watched the games, they haven't been creating separation or really doing anything to get open. So, really, for the entire offense, has been struggling. And our defense, man, last week we got exposed and we got tired real quick because Montana State loves to run the ball, and they are really good at it.
It should be noted for this Montana State game, the six games prior, Tommy Mellott had ran the ball, I'm pretty sure, 12 total times. That's not characteristic of Tommy Mellott. He's a really dang good running quarterback.
And Tommy showed it against us.
Yeah, but when they use Tommy Mellott as a runner in the first six games of the season, he's out for the final five games of the season because he doesn't have the ankle strength to run the ball that much. He ran the ball against Idaho for 148 yards on 11 attempts, two rushing touchdowns. One of those was 65 yards to the house. You want to know why it was 65 yards to the house is because number 7, Andrew Marshall, not to hate on him too much, but turn your head once in a while. Tommy Mellott just ran right past Andrew Marshall because Marshall was chasing down the wide receiver 20 yards down the field, and nobody could catch Tommy Mellott out of the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is that inside the past, they've had Sean Chambers as backup, so that if Tommy goes down, they have Chambers. Now if Tommy goes down, they have no one.
Chance Wilson, who was 1 for 2 for 4 yards.
So no one.
Yeah.
No one. And so that's why probably Tommy hasn't gotten the carries that he's normally getting. I don't know. I mean, I don't have as much optimism as James does. I don't have optimism as a lot of Vandal fans do because I've seen this team struggle. And they've been struggling in wins. They've been struggling in losses. That game against Oregon was the best game they played. They should, granted, that was the first game of the year. Both teams were healthy. And so Vandals 24-14. And then they go into Wyoming. Their offense sputters. Going into every game, except for Albany, has been a struggle on offense. And our defense has had to bail us out. Well, after five games of that, our defense is like, sorry, this is a game that we need the offense to actually step up. And they didn't. And so it's going to be a very tough game, I think, for us. I don't think it's going to be a 20-point win. I don't think it's going to. I think it's going to be a closer game than what everyone expects.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the rest of the season, because I feel like that's important at this point in the year, you know, you have Cal Poly this weekend, which Idaho's probably already put in the win column. You can't do that against any team in the Big Sky Conference. I don't care if it's Cal Poly or Northern Colorado.
Especially the way we've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have Eastern Washington next week, which has looked awful on the road and looked pretty good at home. So luckily you play Eastern in the Kibbe Dome, which almost took Montana out
on parents weekend.
So there should be some people
there's
here.
There's going to be some extra
However,
juice.
Then you go on the road after a bye week to correction, Jaden, top 5 Portland State. If you don't understand that joke, get on Twitter sometime. You play in Hillsboro, which isn't Portland, but sorry, Portland State fans, Portland State students, you have to drive half an hour to watch your football team play. Couldn't be me. And then you have Weber State, which if you've paid attention to me at all over the past couple of years, I usually write Weber State in as a loss for the Vandals because Weber State is just historically halfway decent or quite good, even though it is senior day at home. If you don't have Jack Lane back by then,
it's going to be a 25-30-point loss.
Yeah. I mean, Weber State's just dominant. Yes. You know, former Vandal Kamari Bailey plays for them now. I don't know how much of an impact he's going to have, but he's been very good in the Big Sky Conference this season. And then you go on the road to, well, the trash can of Idaho, Idaho State. Sorry, Jaden, you know it's true.
Well, okay. I will say their program is a trash can. Now, I will say for the big old debate of really who's got the better dome, I mean,
if their seating wasn't improperly placed, okay, it would be fine.
I mean,
but their seating is just horrible.
Yeah, it is. But for me, it's like that whole debate is, we're talking about inside, it's theirs. They made dramatic increases to it. They got new turf, new blah, blah, blah.
It does look nice. I will be there.
All that crap. Me as well. So now I believe it's time for our favorite time of the episode to make our predictions.
We do technically have 8 minutes left. So I would like to go to the Big Sky website and see what the schedule for this weekend is. And
you can do that.
We're going to start with predictions for Idaho Cal Poly.
For more predictions.
And then we're going to predict the other. Actually, we're going to start.
Let's do it.
We're going to start with probably the best game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Of the weekend.
Let's do our final prediction be Idaho Cal Poly.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can figure out how to find a decent schedule here. There we go. There's the Big Sky Conference football page. They should have a schedule on here somewhere. There we go. I found it. I'm really good at this. I hope you enjoy the parts where I just ramble during episodes.
Me as well. So
it's definitely my favorite part. So yeah, this weekend is October 19th. I think we are going to start from probably the most important game of the weekend. UC Davis, Eastern Washington, in Cheney.
In Cheney.
4 p.m. Pacific time.
On that pesky red turf.
So, as much as I would like to see UC Davis win this game, just so our loss doesn't feel as bad, in my opinion, they are 2-1 in Big Sky Conference play. But once again, I'm not a ref. I wasn't there. I don't know that he was 4 yards in front of the line when he caught the football. I am going to give our friends to the Northwest the win here. We're going to go on a little two-game streak. Not technically a win streak because it's not 3 games, but I think Eastern Washington is going to do what they couldn't against Montana, and they're going to win this game 55-52.
Jeez.
UC Davis Eastern.
I think it's not really going to be that close, actually. I think that UC Davis, I think, in my opinion, I mean, this might be a hot take, is the best team instead of the Big Sky on paper, and I believe on the field. So I think they win 49-28.
Okay. You can hold us to these, by the way. Yeah, except last week. Do not hold me to last week. That wasn't me. That was alternate James. And then we should probably start with the earlier games. I don't care. I really like the UC Davis Eastern. We'll do Idaho State, Northern Arizona. I don't think this is close. It's in Flagstaff. Yeah, Northern Arizona is going to win this game like 35-12.
Well, I've got it. I think I'm going to do 35-21. I believe the Idaho State offense has shown pretty good flashes. They've scored 43 times this year. So I believe it's going to be 35-21.
Okay. Montana State, Portland State, time to be announced in Hillsboro, Oregon.
I love that game.
Some people are predicting Portland State to win this. I think you're insane. Montana State is going to remind Portland that it is a city in Oregon. And they're going to win this game like 42-6.
Wow. Sorry, James, but Portland State's starting quarterback is a lot better than that. I think this game will be not close, but not 42-6. I think it's going to be 35-17, Montana State with the win.
We should really write these down, but I already forgot what I said for the other ones. Weber State, Sac State, probably going to be a halfway decent game in Sacramento, California. If this was in Ogden, maybe a different story, but Sac State, this might be the game they need to win to make their push into the Pac-12. If the Pac-12 commissioner ever listens to this, that would be the stupidest mistake of your entire life. I don't care how big their stadium is. I don't care how good everything else is. I don't care that E.J. Neal plays for their men's basketball team. Weber State's going to win this game like 24-10.
I'm going to ask Weber State winning, and I think it's going to be the way Weber State's offense has been just annihilating teams. I think I'm going to go 49-10.
Okay. That's much further away than I said, but we're hitting very opposite sides of the spectrum on these predictions. Idaho, Cal Poly, 1 p.m. Pacific here in Moscow, Idaho, in the Kibbe Dome. Luckily, it's not on national television. That would be embarrassing. I mean, they had an American Conference game on TV last week, so I guess anything's possible. Unlike what Jaden said earlier and probably against what I said myself, I think Idaho wins this game pretty decently, not behind the offense, but behind two, Tommy McCormick pick sixes. And Idaho is going to win this game 14 plus probably 28-2, because I think Cal Poly's defense is halfway decent. What did I say, 28-2.
Okay, well.
I know that's a crazy statement to make, but I've made it. Hold me to it.
Again, for everyone watching, I don't have as much optimism as any Vandal fans right now. I think our year hasn't really been that good, even though we're 4-3. I think Idaho wins, but I think it's going to be 17-7.
Okay. Those are our official predictions. Maybe we'll do this more often. I kind of had fun doing that.
Same.
I mean, next week, there's only three Big Sky Conference games next week. So, we'll definitely do it next week. Yeah. That'll be fun. The best in the Big Sky, or second best in the Big Sky against the worst in the Big Sky. The mid of the Big Sky against another mid of the Big Sky. And then Eastern versus Idaho. So, thank you all for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed listening to probably one of the weirdest shows Jaden and I have ever put together. Jaden did drop a swear word that I'm going to cut out.
I'm sorry.
Because I don't want the FCC or anyone in Moscow mad at us.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll forget and it'll slip out and somebody will get mad at me, but whatever. Jaden, are you still on your Twitter fast?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
so you can follow Jaden on Instagram.
Yes,
at JadenBarfus10. And then you can follow me. And I finally figured out what my Twitter handle is. It's JamesAldrich25. You can follow me on there for probably some pretty stupid tweets. Definitely some pretty stupid tweets.
Yes, for
such
sure.
As, no, Sam Herder, Idaho's not going to lose by 3 scores to Montana State. Definitely not.
That was for sure a bad one. So.
Yeah, that aged like milk. But what takes of mine don't.
Yeah,
so thank you all again. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, whether that be watching the Idaho-Cal Poly game or sitting on your couch at home, twiddling your thumbs, doing literally anything better than watching what will likely be a, if you're me, really, really difficult game to sit through. Or if you're Jaden, maybe it'll be kind of fun. So we'll see.
We'll see. Yep.
So thank you all again, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
As Mark Warren would say.